Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're doing something pretty interesting, actually. We're digging into these really closed-off groups, CEO peer forums.
Yeah, those high-level advisory groups where execs get real support and honest feedback. Very confidential stuff.
Exactly. And what's fascinating, based on the research we looked at, is how they build trust. It's not random.
Not at all. There's a very clear four-phase journey they go through. It's structured specifically to create and, importantly, sustain psychological safety.
Right. So the big question we're tackling today is, can we take that roadmap designed for these elite peer groups and make it work for, you know, regular teams, your partner team, a project group?
How well does it translate? That's the mission. Because let's be clear, psychological safety isn't just about being comfortable.
No, it's more fundamental. It's that feeling that you can speak up, challenge things, admit you messed up.
Without getting slammed for it. Taking interpersonal risks, basically.
Okay, but before we get into the SAESes, we need to nail down the key difference between these groups. It seems crucial.
Absolutely. A CEO forum exists for its members. Its success is measured by their individual growth, the support they give each other.
Whereas an internal team, well, they're there to produce something together, right? A shared output, a collective goal.
Exactly. One's a support unit, the other is a production unit, essentially.
That difference, individual benefit versus collective goal, feels like the main tension here. It's probably where the CEO model works well in a company, and maybe where it struggles.
Precisely. So let's track that journey, phase one.
Phase one, entry and trust building. For the CEO forum, this is setting everything up the rules, confidentiality, getting comfortable.
Making it safe enough to be vulnerable later on, defining the how.
It sounds a lot like that classic forming stage from Tuckman's model, doesn't it? Establishing norms, how we interact.
It really does. And interestingly, the sources suggest that operational teams might actually do this faster sometimes.
Oh. Why that?
Well, they usually meet more often, share a space, physically or virtually. There's more regular contact.
Okay, that makes sense. And the leader's role here is key, acting like that forum convener.
Absolutely critical. They have to actively build that trust.
Yeah.
And crucially, they need to model vulnerability themselves.
Meaning
they need to show it's okay not to have all the answers. Admit mistakes, acknowledge gaps in their own knowledge, lead by example.
Yeah, but here's the snag the research flags, and it feels like a big one. Teams and organizations, they often rush this or skip it entirely.
Well, definitely. There's this pressure, isn't there? Let's just get to the work. We're pros. We know how to do this.
We don't need to talk about feelings or rules.
Right. And the analogy used in the source material is brilliant. It's like trying to build a complicated gas grill without looking at the instructions.
Uh-huh. I love that. You think you're saving time.
You skip the foundational steps and you end up with something unstable, maybe even dangerous. That 30 minutes saved up front costs you way more down the line.
It nails the problem because you've got hierarchy, you've got targets, deadlines, all pushing against taking time for trust.
And people know they're being watched, evaluated. That immediately chills the safety. Peer forums just don't have that same dynamic. They're equals.
So if you botch phase one or rush it, you probably can't get to the really valuable part, which is phase two.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Phase two, dialogue and challenge. This is where the gloves come off, metaphorically speaking.
Okay, so what does that look like, moving past the initial setup?
It means people start speaking more candidly, asking the tough questions, pointing out elephants in the room.
Like process problems, friction between functions.
Yes, or even questioning a decision. But, and this is key, doing it constructively. Framing it as being in service to the team's goal or the client. Not as a personal attack.
That's where the real learning and innovation happens, I imagine. Moving beyond just getting along into that productive friction zone.
That's the idea. Adaptation comes from challenge, and leaders can actively foster this by building in specific times for it. Like regular retrospectives focused on what went wrong or how could we do better, or even just pausing in a meeting and asking, okay, what are we not saying right now? Or does anyone see this differently?
That sounds great in theory, but this feels like where the corporate environment really creates barriers.
It hits hard here, yes, because in phase two, you might be challenging the way things are done, maybe even challenging your boss's idea.
And unlike the CEO forum, where challenging a peer helps them grow.
In a company, challenging the status quo or the boss carries real risks, doesn't it?
Yeah. Fear of consequences, getting labeled difficult, hurting your performance review, maybe your career prospects.
That fear is the critical barrier. It's absent in the peer forum, which is built on confidentiality and mutual growth. Inside a company, you have competing incentives, budget targets, department silos, performance metrics.
All pushing against that open, challenging dialogue.
Yeah.
If speaking up feels like it could cost you, people just stop speaking up.
Precisely. Truth becomes too expensive.
Okay. So let's say a team somehow navigates this minefield. They build trust. They figure out how to challenge constructively. They get into phase three.
Phase three, integration and high performance. This is kind of the flow state for the team.
The sweet spot.
You could call it that. Trust and challenge aren't things they do anymore. It's just how they operate. It's the default behavior.
So issues get raised early. People collaborate well.
Right. And accountability shifts. It becomes more horizontal, peer-to-peer, not just reporting up to the leader. Everyone feels responsible for flagging risks or opportunities.
This really drives home that point. Psychological safety isn't the opposite of accountability. They actually need each other for true high performance.
They're essential partners. And interestingly, because internal teams already have shared goals, this move from dialogue in phase two to performance in phase three can actually happen faster than in a CEO forum sometimes.
Don't that? Because the why is already established.
Exactly. The leader's job changes then, too. It's less about creating safety and more about expecting high performance within that safe environment. Safety becomes the baseline requirement.
But, and this is crucial for you listening, the sources really hammer this home. Phase three is incredibly fragile.
Oh, absolutely. Getting there is one thing. Staying there is much harder. Complacency is a real danger.
What makes it so fragile?
External shocks, mainly. A sudden budget cut, a market shift, a new senior leader comes in and overrides things without discussion.
Undermining all that built-up trust.
Instantly, it can pull the team right back out of that integrated state.
That's a really key insight. You can't treat safety like a destination you've arrived at. It's not a check-the-box thing.
No, it's a state that needs constant tending, active reinforcement. The research is clear. If you see it as achieved and stop focusing on it, it decays fast.
And rebuilding it after a breach of trust. Way harder than building it the first time.
Exponentially harder.
Yeah.
Which leads us naturally into the final phase. Phase four, renewal and resilience.
Okay, so what's involved here? If phase three is high performance.
Phase four is about acknowledging that things change constantly. New people join, markets evolve, tech changes. Even if the team is performing well, the context shifts.
So renewal is about checking in on how the team itself is working.
Yes. Periodically stepping back. Reviewing the norms, rebuilding trust where needed, updating how you work together, adapting to those ongoing changes.
This feels like something modern teams desperately need, given the pace of change. It's about building resilience, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It's a chance to consciously adapt, not just react. Holding those, how are we doing, really, conversations.
Yeah.
Updating the team's social contract, if you like.
But I can already see the problem, the operational pressures.
Exactly. Organizational inertia kicks in again. Teams often skip phase four completely.
Why? Too busy. Feels like a luxury.
Both. We did well last quarter, we'll be fine. That leads to complacency, maybe even groupthink. The urgent operational stuff always seems to crowd out the important reflection time.
And that puts the leader in a tough spot again. They have to manage the day-to-day and lead this reflective renewal process.
It's that dual role conflict. Running the operation and facilitating the team's sort of self-maintenance, it's a heavy lift and requires real skill.
Plus, the internal team doesn't have the same independence as a peer forum, right? They can't reflect in quite the same way.
No, there's always the backdrop of the wider organization. They know their internal discussions are still bound by company constraints, which can limit how deep the renewal goes.
Okay, let's pull this together. We've got this really insightful four-phase model from CEO forums, entry, dialogue, integration, renewal. But applying it inside a company clearly faces big challenges.
Huge headwinds, yeah.
So structurally, where does it fall shortest?
I think we can group the limitations.
Yeah.
First, the structural ones. Power differences, performance metrics, they fundamentally clash with the peer-to-peer nature of the forum model.
Okay.
Second, sustainability. Just keeping that safety alive is much harder when you've got constant operational pressures, market demands, shifting priorities, hitting the team from outside.
Makes sense. And third?
The infrastructure, or lack thereof. CEO forums have skilled, neutral facilitators, dedicated time, safe spaces. Internal teams usually just have the team leader.
Who has to be both the player and the referee.
Yeah.
The performer being judged and the facilitator creating a non-judgmental space.
It's a really difficult, almost contradictory position to be in, a massive risk factor for the whole process.
So for you listening, the big takeaway seems to be that making this work requires real, conscious effort.
Discipline.
Intentionality, yes. And a clear-eyed view of the organizational context. You can't just import the model. You have to adapt it carefully.
All right, so based on all this, the sources seem to point to some concrete actions. 5 key things leaders should do.
Yeah, practical steps derived from this framework.
Okay, number one, don't skip phase one. Remember the gas grill. Even if your team is experienced, any significant change, new goal, new member needs a deliberate reset of norms. Don't assume familiarity equals alignment.
Got it. Number two.
Design for phase two. You have to build specific, safe ways for people to offer constructive challenges. Protected times, like retrospectives or postmortems, where it's explicitly okay to question the process. And the leader must model accepting that feedback.
Crucial. Okay, number three.
Make phase three standard practice. Be really clear. High performance requires both high safety and high challenge. Set that expectation. Safety isn't about lowering the bar.
Good point. Number four.
Plan for phase four. Treat renewal as a necessary process, not an optional extra. Schedule time, maybe quarterly, to deliberately reflect on how the team is working, update norms, integrate new people properly. See it as an investment.
Right, not a cost center. And the last one, number five.
Recognize the limitations. Be realistic about how your specific company culture, structure, and pressures impact safety. Acknowledge the internal gravity working against this model and actively build safeguards. Address the barriers you can control.
That's very practical. Yeah. So the CEO forum model gives us a powerful roadmap.
Exceptionally strong. But using it inside an organization, it takes deliberate effort, skill, and navigating those constant operational demands that peer forums just don't face in the same way.
It leaves us with this core idea, doesn't it? Maybe if we start treating our teams a bit more like these protected forums, really prioritizing their social health, their ability to have honest dialogue, and less like just cogs in a machine.
We unlock something much deeper, more collaboration, more innovation, definitely more resilience.
Okay, here's a final thought for you to chew on, coming straight from the research we looked at. Many high-performing teams don't actually fail because their performance drops off first. They decline because they stop paying attention to the psychological safety. They treat it as done, fixed, when it's actually fragile.
So the question for you is, how often are you intentionally pausing things to check the social health of your team? What subtle shifts in trust or openness might you be missing if you're only looking at the output metrics? Something to think about. We'll see you next time for the next deep dive.